Good morning. Take your Bible and turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I hope you've been reading and studying, following up on things that have been said already on the broadcast. There are those who will, from time to time, make comment about my preaching on the radio. I want to clarify a point. I don't preach on the radio. I'm teaching. Preaching has a tendency to be a good bit more intense, okay, more energetic, perhaps. The reason I do what I do here on the radio is because I want you to listen. I'm not yelling at you. I'm not trying to browbeat you. I'm not trying to convince you of anything other than simply trying to show you what the Bible says, and as such, you'll notice it does not sound like I'm preaching from the pulpit in a great cathedral, because I'm not. I'm not preaching from the pulpit at all. I'm sitting here in my own studio and just having a conversation. I'd like for you to think of it in terms of we're just sitting down around the table and talking, maybe in your living room or across the table from one another. Kind of conversational. It's not a matter where I'm wanting to come across as some heavy-duty authoritarian figure. I find the Bible is its own authority, and anyone who preaches it and teaches it gains, I don't know, I suppose, a sense of or an aura of authority simply because they wrap themselves. I certainly would want to wrap myself in the authority of the Word of God. It is the justification for what I do. Without the authoritative Scripture, I'm just beating my gums. Now, if you do have a Bible, and I do suggest that when it is possible, when you tune into the program, you have a Bible handy, because, as I said, the Bible says is geared toward showing you what the Scripture says. I don't want it to be a matter, well, I believe such and such, or, you know, it's like this, and somebody says, well, where'd you hear a thing like that? And you say, well, the preacher, no, I don't want that. If you use anything you get off this program, I want it to be because you saw it from the Scripture. That it is what the Bible says, not what some preacher said it says. I realize that you may not have the opportunity, you don't have the option. You might be working, you may be around the house, you're up to your elbows in dishwater or baking something. I'm not trying to tell you, you got to stop and sit down and listen. You might be driving, you might be on the job and the radio's on and you're listening. But when it is possible, have a Bible so you can look it over and see for yourself. I'm not going to warp this. I'm not going to twist it, try to pull something out of context, make it say something that it doesn't. I mean, face it, I have to answer to God if I tell you something wrong. If I tell you something wrong and you believe it and you go ahead and you live by it or incorporate it into your walk with the Lord, or even more dangerous if you pass that on to someone else and they believe it because you said it. If it all comes back to the fact that I said something wrong, then you're promoting something wrong. You see, I have to be very careful because I answer for that. I'll answer to God for that. And so therefore, I want you to understand, I'm going to be extremely careful in what I say. I'm not going to just go out on a limb and say, well, you know, that's pretty close to the way I think it ought to be. It's not what I think. It's what the Bible say. All right? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. We'll pick it up where we left off yesterday. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. He's writing from the city of Ephesus to the church in Corinth, sometime around AD 54, AD 55. He is writing to people who are sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be saints. Back in verse 2. Now, he says, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. There are those who would set out to try to evangelize by purely intellectual means. Several years ago, when I was a kid in college, there was a fellow who was extremely influential in some circles back then. I believe he was from Switzerland. I'm not sure. His name was Francis Schaeffer. And he worked out of a place he called Labrie. It was the Labrie Fellowship. And he was an extremely intelligent man, extremely. And he was of the opinion that if you sat down and looked at what the Bible said logically, and you applied it logically, that the only logical thing that an individual could do would be to accept Christ as Savior. And while that is eminently true, the only reasonable thing a man can do when he's faced with eternity, either heaven or hell, the only reasonable thing that a sane man could do would be to accept Christ as Savior. However, there is a spiritual dynamic here that must not be overlooked. Jesus said that no man could come to him except the Father drew him. Now, that's a pretty heavy-duty statement, and we dare not overlook the fact that for a person to be saved, genuinely born again, requires an act of God. This is not something that a person does on their own. It's not a matter of man saying, well, I think I'm going to get religion today. You can get religion any day of the week, any time of the day, any time in your life. You want to get religion. There are thousands of kinds of religion. But my friend, there is only one Christianity. There is only one way of salvation. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Notice, please, it wasn't the church. It wasn't by a credo. It wasn't by baptism. It was by Jesus Christ and him alone. Now, I realize that's not politically correct. I realize that some people are going to just rise up in righteous indignation and say, why, how can he say a thing like that? I can say it because it's what the Bible says. I say it not on my own authority, but on the authority of the Word of God. There is no other way of salvation. Now, Christ sent me not to baptize. Please understand the reasoning behind this. Baptism is a work of obedience. You remember that Paul said in his writing to the Ephesians, he says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If there was something that you could do in order to earn salvation, you've worked for it. If there was something that you could do that would make you saved, then it's of your doing. It's of your effort. It's your works. But my friend, the Bible is explicit. It is not of works. It's by his mercy he saved us. Not by works of righteousness as we have done, but by his mercy, his grace that extended that mercy, that we can be saved. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. You remember from our study of Galatians, perhaps, although that would have been, probably about 3 years ago, Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Christ my Lord, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. It's not the life of Christ that saves. It's the death of Christ that saves. And the stamp, the validation, if you will, for that is his resurrection from the dead, Romans chapter 1. Now, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. You say, what does he mean? Well, consider, or perhaps these may be your own thoughts, I don't know. The question could be asked, what in the world does the death of a man, even some good man like Jesus Christ, on a cross 2,000 years ago, what does that have to do with me today? I mean, he's dead. Move on. Get alive. Get over it. My friend, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. There are folks that don't understand. There are folks who have no desire to understand. And you know, more and more, I see something. It is pushed off as machismo, as being just too cool, of being indifferent, being intellectual, being agnostic. It dresses itself up in so many different forms that it's easy to miss the real root problem. And the real root problem, the thing that keeps people from accepting Christ more than any other, besides pride, is fear. Fear. Now, there are those who say, I'm not afraid of nothing. Well, then you're a fool. Any man, every man, has things he is afraid of. He's afraid of looking like a sissy. He's afraid of looking indecisive. He's afraid of looking weak. He's afraid of not being able to do something and bring it to completion when he starts it. He fears things. We all do. And if you say you don't, I suspect you've been smoking something other than, well, you get my drift. Fear. Fear. I saw to a man, he said, I'll be honest with you, before I got saved, he said, I was afraid, and I'm not ashamed to admit it. He said, I was afraid that I couldn't live it. I was afraid that if I just didn't want to find out I couldn't do it. My friend, let me tell you something. If you've not accepted Christ as your Savior, and you're worried about whether or not you can live the Christian life, let me lay it out for you very simply and very plainly. You can't. There's no way in the world that you could live a life above sin. There's no way in the world you can live a life that's pleasing to God on your own. But, dear friend, God doesn't expect you to. You say, no, wait a minute. No, God does not expect you to live the Christian life on your own. It is for that reason that He sent the blessed, abiding presence of the Holy Spirit to indwell the believer, so that through His power and His wisdom and His abilities, the living of the Christian life becomes something that is actually possible. It can be done, but not through your own strength. That fear is genuine. It's a reasonable fear. I'm afraid I can't live it, but let me take it a step beyond that for you. You can't, and God knows that. God doesn't expect you to live it on your own. People who try are doing it in their own strength. They're doing it in their own works. That is inefficient. It is insufficient. Lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. It's a funny thing. On one side of the door, I forget whether it was Luther, somebody made the statement. He said, the matter of salvation is like walking through a gate. On one side, you see the invitation, whosoever will, let him come. But when you pass through that gate and you look back at the other side of the arch over the top of the gate, it says, from before the foundation, chosen from before the foundation of the world. There are things you won't understand before you get saved that after you give your heart to Christ make perfect sense. It is foolishness to those that perish, but to those who know, it makes perfect sense. My time is gone. We'll need to come back to this tomorrow, for we're not finished with it, and it's worth really plumbing the depths of this. I hope you'll have your Bible with you, and you'll tune in tomorrow at 9 o'clock here for The Bible Says. See you then.